expanding our network and bringing our wireless network to more communities in Alaska.
Next time you're in Clockwan, turn on your cell phone and see what happens. And a renewed offer for $20,000 for information on an unsolved Haynes crime. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Juneau residents had the first shot at a new regional transportation plan Monday evening. Skagway, Haynes, and other Southeast communities will get their chance during the next month. About 30 people gathered at the capital city's Centennial Hall to hear about six options proposed by the Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan. They also had a chance to ask Southeast Planning Chief Andy Hughes questions about the options. They include keeping things as they are and switching to a road and shuttle ferry system. Other options would drop runs to Bellingham, Washington, and South Central Alaska. Here's a sampling of the questions asked and answers given during the meeting.
The mainline ferries now, it takes 4.5 hours to go from Juneau to Haynes, and the fast ferry does it in a little over 2 hours. What's the expectation for the Alaska class ferry?
It would be similar to the mainliners running the route today.
The Bellingham run, for example, you say it's to capacity. Does it even come close to paying its own way?
None of the runs pay their own way. Now, my impression to date is that the only vessel, just because of its capacity, that sometimes recovers its operating costs when it's running full is the Columbia.
To what extent can you or are you willing to pick and choose elements from the different alternatives? Is that what you're going to figure out during the scoping process, basically?
When we get to the point where we're going to put together a preferred alternative, we may draw from each and every one of them. We may end up with one of these alternatives as a preferred alternative, or a combination of them, or something new.
Hughes said the transportation plan is driven in part by a need to reduce growing ferry costs. That means finding ways to save money or changing routes or frequency of service. The next meeting is Tuesday, September 28th at Gustavus City Hall. That's followed by meetings Tuesday, October 4th at Yakutat High School, Wednesday, October 5th at Skagway Assembly Chambers, and Thursday, October 6th at Haynes Assembly Chambers. Clockwan's getting cell service. Alaska Communications, or ACS Wireless, is putting the finishing touches on a new cell phone tower this week and expects mobile phone and internet service to begin as soon as October 3rd.
So I would expect by October 4th, everyone should notice that there's coverage now in Clockwan.
Heather Cavanaugh is with Alaska Communications, a cellular service provider based in Anchorage.
Our wireless network covers about 85% of Alaska's population from the southeast up to the North Slope. And so now, as we have a majority of the state covered, we're looking at expanding our network and bringing our wireless network to more communities in Alaska.
At this time, the company expects only Alaska Communications and Verizon Wireless customers to have access to the service. Emergency calls could possibly be made from other cell phones.
Basically, we've been busy putting in a tower in Clockwan, and what it will do is it'll give wireless voice and 2G data speeds to residents in the area. So it means basically you'll be able to get on your phone, of course, and talk on your wireless phone, but also surf the internet and check email. But it'll be at 2G speeds, which is, the G stands for generation, and it just means the latest technology. And so you'll be able to do all the online internet surfing, et cetera. It won't be as fast as you would have with a 3G network.
It's unclear at this time how far the coverage will reach, but the company should know more next week.
We usually do tests and just to see what exactly what area, you know, where you'll have coverage, but definitely in the Clockwan area.
For more information on Alaska Communications service or plans, the customer service line is 1-800-808-8083 or go online to alaskacommunications.com.
You know, we're just really excited to be bringing our network out there and to give more Alaskans access and to connect more Alaskans.
It's been almost 30 years since 14-year-old Eileen Wafer's body was found on a Haines beach, but the mystery of her murder is not at all forgotten. The mother of another young woman murdered in Anchorage years ago is pledging to give a large reward for any information that might solve the Haines crime. A public announcement of her offer came this Wednesday on the 17th anniversary of the death of her own daughter, Bonnie Craig. Bonnie's killer was found, but her family continues to work on behalf of Alaskans looking for that kind of closure, like in Wafer's case.
Eileen Wafer is one of our cases.
James Gallen is an investigator with the State Troopers Cold Case Unit in Anchorage.
She was murdered and raped in 1982, June 10th. And she was found on the beach there in Haines.
Investigators have been to Haines over the years looking for clues and interviewing residents. They've cleared suspects and still have no answers. They're hoping the renewed attention to the reward and related publicity might urge someone to come forward with new knowledge.
We're looking for information. Somebody out there must know something. They need to come forward and give us information and see what we can do with that information, trying to locate the person that did this bad crime.
Wafer lived at the Mountain View Hotel with her mother after moving to Haines less than a year before her death. She was a student at Haines School and was at home babysitting her two younger brothers on the night of her murder. Her friends have said she declined an invitation to go out that night and that she would not have left her brothers alone. Her body was found 4 days later by her older brother and her boyfriend in the location where the Jilcock Kwan dock now stands. Very little is known beyond that.
Yes, and you know, anybody that can come forward and give us, you know, some information, whether they think it's legit or not, any small, you know, information that they have, you know, we'd appreciate they would call us.
Investigator Jim Gallen can be reached at 907-269-5078. Wafer's case is one of four that Bonnie's family is offering up to $20,000 on. The others are also unsolved murders of teenage girls in Alaska. 16-year-old Shelley Connolly of Anchorage, murdered in 1978. 17-year-old Jessica Baggin of Sitka, killed in 1996. And 15-year-old Ann Safin, murdered in Anchorage in 2003. The statewide campaign to gather more information on these crimes is centered at the webpage alaskacitizensforjustice.com. And Bonnie's mother says it'll continue, at least until the sentencing of Bonnie's killer. On October 31st. Haida Energy is starting to build Prince of Wales Island's next hydropower plant, but it still needs more funding. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Reynolds Creek Hydro Project has long been a dream of the Haida Village Native Corporation, based in Haidaberg. Project manager Corey Hildenbrand says that dream is close to becoming reality.
We are on the ground. Actually, Direct Construction is moving in with their barge. We awarded early in September. We've got about 9 or 11 weeks of work, and hopefully the weather will cooperate and we get this first phase of work done.
Reynolds Creek is about 10 miles from Haidaberg, which is about 25 miles southeast of Craig. It's being developed by Haida Energy, a joint venture of the Haida Corporation and APT, the Alaska Power and Telephone Company. Its powerhouse and small dam will feed electricity into Prince of Wales Island's grid, eliminating the use of high-cost diesel generators. Hildenbrand, speaking at the Rural Alaska Energy Conference in Juneau, says there's a long list of projects for this fall.
Repairing the roads, building the road into the powerhouse site, building the road into the dam site so we can do our geotech investigations, confirm what we have for foundation conditions. We have AP&T has also started construction of the transmission line from Haidaberg out towards Deer Bay. The turbine generator is very close to being on order, and then we'll be moving into final design based on our geotech work this fall.
The project's power is expected to cost 11 or 12 cents a kilowatt hour. Its overall cost is estimated at $28 million, paid for by a mix of grants, loans, and backing from its developers. Alvin Edenshaw of the Haida Corporation says that's more than they have.
Along the way, since the 2000 and 2006, the cost has gone up. So we've gone back to the state, and we are in the process right now with the Alaska Energy Authority and ADA to develop another $9 million loan to bring our project online.
Developers hope to have the hydro project complete and producing electricity in 2014. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Quite a list of local high school seniors got a little help with college tuition with the Alaska Performance Scholarship Awards, and the class of 2011 can still apply for the scholarship through the FAFSA form or free application for federal student aid until December 15th. That extended deadline allows high-achieving Alaska high school graduates who continue their post-secondary studies at qualifying Alaska institutions about 6 more months' time. Awards to late applicants will be contingent on the availability of funding after the earlier applications have been considered. The required form is at fafsa.ed.gov. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.